didn't ditch work. She loved being at Tea Leaves as much as she loved being at her own home, or used to. That was the crux of it, wasn't it? She was afraid of everything, enjoying nothing. But she was being stupid. She could get through this. Thump, thump. She scrambled over the bed with a startled cry, knocking over the side table, the lamp, and the cell phone on it. When she landed in the debris, the night table jabbed into her hip as she rolled over it. Snatching up the lamp in nerveless fingers, she scooted back into the corner, her intestines coiled in painful knots. No, no, no. When the thump came again, her scattered mind struggled to place it. Gradually, over the momentous pounding of her heart, she realized it was the maple she hadn't cut back. It held one of her bird feeders. The wind was up, and the feeder, as well as the branch holding it, were striking the backyard shed. A noise she'd heard 100 times. She couldn't take it anymore. Her chest constricted as if it was being crushed, her breath strangling in her throat. This was a panic attack, full blown. And while one part of her mind rationalized it, the rest of her was freaking out. As she let the lamp fall to her side and pushed the side table off her legs, her hand brushed a slip of paper that had fluttered to the floor when she knocked over the table. Glancing down, she saw the folded note that she'd slid under the lamp base almost a year ago. No, she couldn't. She really couldn't. She didn't even know him, for heaven's sake. They'd met at Marguerite's wedding. Yeah, they'd hit it off, and she'd meant to call him. She'd kept the dang note by her bed, after all. Of course, she and Jen had really had their hands full, running Tea Leaves while Marguerite had been on her honeymoon. But when that had passed, and he'd tried to reach her a couple times through Marguerite, she'd given this and that bogus excuse not to get in touch. Every time she thought about calling, she felt hesitant. For the first time in her life. At one time, she'd been tremendously confident, buoyant with energy. She'd reach out to anyone, sure that she'd find something worthwhile in the contact. A gorgeous guy who seemed interested in her? Hell, she would have been on the phone to him the next day, practically before he had his morning coffee. Her mental argument against calling now didn't seem to matter. Her errant fingers had already flipped open her phone and were dialing. On the fourth ring, her good sense caught up. Oh, goddess, she was calling him at 3 in the morning. He answered before she could jerk the phone from her ear and snap it closed. Hello? She cleared her throat. He'd been asleep, obviously. She should just hang up. Brendan? Yeah? Then a pause. Chloe? Is this Chloe? You recognize my voice? Of course, he said. As if it was the most normal thing in the world to wake out of a dead sleep and recognize the voice of someone he'd only met once before. I was hoping you'd call. In fact, a throaty chuckle, sensuous and warm. I think I was dreaming about you.
I'm sorry about the time. I didn't realize it was so late.
God, didn't that sound lame?
Calling at 10 o'clock at night, that was a mistake. Calling at the freaking dawn of the dead hour, she had to be a vampire not to know what time it was. Or a mental case. She'd really liked this guy, and he was going to consider her completely nuts. But, oh, his voice sounded good. All sleepy and sexy.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just... A sob caught in her throat. I can't breathe, Brendan. I had a nightmare, and I'm so sorry I couldn't call Marguerite or Jen.